I can't see my brother out there, but you know he's a big he's skipping again. I'm telling you. This week when I was preparing, I kept having this song go through my head all week. And hey, tell you all the 80s and 90s rock fans that like U2. Remember the U2 song with B.B. King? It says, "When love comes to town, want to catch that train." You know, all week that song's been, you're like, who are you talking about? That's okay. Anyways, a few of you U2 fans out there. But I remember hearing all week that's been in my head. Because this morning we're going to talk about when love comes, this is what happens. Jesus is, we've talked about peace and joy and hope the last few weeks and how that has given us a reason for the season. But really, the ultimate meaning for everything in Christmas is love what drove Jesus here. It's what brought us. So before we get into all that, let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, because if we don't start there, then we really won't be on a good Christmas service. And while you all are turning there, I'd like to just acknowledge the fact that we have many of the Chastain family here this morning. I want to thank the church. You guys did a great job. And Mark, I don't know if you wanted to share anything at all, but for on behalf of your family, I want to give you a chance real quick. I can't say enough. Obviously, as a father having to bury his son this week, the pain that we went through together Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday was amazing. It was tough, and even thinking about the memories it brings up for some of you guys that have had this. Christmas is not supposed to be this, but you know, in many homes across the United States, it is. It's reality. Reality is that as much as we're going to talk about Jesus, Christmas is a holiday that brings family together, and sometimes it doesn't always have the first reaction that's bringing encouragement. So be in prayer for this family and for the other families involved that are affected. During this season, there's loss and there's difficulties, even relationships that are broken in your families. Just be in prayer for those families around us. And Chad, why don't you come on up here and take your turn, and that way it'll give everybody a little bit of transition into this morning. Chad had a word this morning during prayer. Those that don't know, in my office beforehand, the prayer team, the worship team, we come together and pray. And Chad had a word that went right along with what I'll be sharing this morning. So go ahead.
So we get here early, the praise and worship team, and I get here probably earlier than most should. But on my way in, I was praying and kind of going, God, what do you have for today? It's Christmas. You know, a lot of people are here because it's Christmas time. They come around Christmas, and that's great, and we're glad to have you guys. But what would you have us to do for today? Would you have us just to remember that a baby was born on today that would eventually redeem us all? What I got out of it was God wants us to remember this is the time of restoration. Jesus had to come because he originally gave us, as man, life with him eternally, and we messed it up. He sent this baby for restoration for us. This time of year is we're meeting together with families. If you don't have the best relationship with somebody, it's time for that restoration. Today going forward can be the day of restoration. It can be restoration for your relationships with people, restoration for healing, restoration in finances, whatever you guys have. But that's what we are praying about today, and that's what I got and I shared with the team back there and then with you guys this morning. So just remember that. It's not just a time of a baby that came, although that was great, but it is a time of restoration in all points in your life. So,
and so since he just started that, restoration needed because in the Garden of Eden, God gave us a place of perfection, a place that there was no sin, there was no sickness, there was nothing. It was a place of perfection. And yet two people had a choice, and what'd they do? They chose sin. And you know what? I hate to go, we could blame Adam and Eve because it's always their fault, but when we were put in the same position, I imagine some of us would realize we've been put in positions in our own selves, and we've made mistakes. But because of that, sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, there needed to be something to redeem us, to restore us back to the original creation of way we are supposed to be. And the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth was he loved us so much he wanted to restore us to himself. He wanted us to have a relationship with him that can never be found. Even in the Old Testament, they had a relationship with him. It was more external, but now we have been given his spirit internally. He is a part of God, lives and dwells in each one of us right now. So the internal realization that Jesus came to Emmanuel, God with us, and that, so when Jesus came, he left us a deposit, a part of himself that lives in us. And that restores us not only this way, but needs to restore us this way. And so that's what Jesus did. He came, and in Luke chapter 2, we read the account when Jesus was born. And the purpose of this birth was not just to celebrate a baby that was born, and that's great, but it was a Messiah. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, it was hope for these people who have been prophesied over and believed, and now all of a sudden, the coming of the promise, the coming, the fulfillment of prophecy is at hand right here. And the prophecy wasn't just so there was a baby born so we could say Jesus. It's that there was a Messiah, a coming king that was going to be born to redeem us, to buy us back so we can have a relationship with our God. Let's read this. In chapter 2, verse 8, and there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not. You know, one of the things, every time I read this now, fear not, I can't help but think of Kenny. Is it because he's preached on this so many times that every single time the presence of God or an angel would come, there's almost an overwhelming sense of fear that came. Because when you are encountering a, I mean, I don't know about you, if an angel, well, there he is, he walks in just on demand. But right there, boom. But when God shows up or he sends one of his angels, there is a part of us that wants to be afraid. But the first thing that comes out of their mouth, fear not, don't be afraid. Because fear is never from God. Never from God. A reverence is, but not a fear. Fear not, for I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There's no disclaimer there. Jesus came to bring good tidings and great joy to everyone. If you know somebody in this season that's not encountering good tidings and great joy, you can be an ambassador of joy to them. Because this is a promise we have in God's word. Now, there's going to be trials, and there's times, but you can bring a place of joy and hope in their lives because we know Jesus. Keep going. For unto you is born this day in a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and shall be a sign unto you. You shall find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, living in a manger. And suddenly there was with us angel of multitudes, heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And came to pass as the angels were gone away from into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which shall come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And the way he'd seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which had told them concerning this child. And all they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told them of them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was Jesus, which was called the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is a story of the birth of Jesus. We all have read it every year. We read it, and I'm reading it more, not just out of tradition, but we read it because this is the great story. And you know, Kenny was preaching a couple months ago about miracles. I don't know if you remember this. But he said, one of the greatest things we take for granted is that this miracle that took place right here, if I told you today that there was one of our junior high students, maybe high school students, was pregnant, yet they've never had a relationship with a man of any kind, and yet they were going to have a child, and it was going to be a miracle, we would look at you and think that everyone in the room were crazy. True? We would think they were absolutely losing their mind. And yet we read this story Christmas season every year, and we don't think it's crazy at all. Because it's become so numb that a miracle took place. One of the reasons why this miracle is so amazing is because everyone believes it as just being normal now. Yet the very nature of this birth of Jesus came was based on a miracle that we just tend to overlook all the time. The very fact that Jesus chose to bring this child in, namely God himself, in the form of a miracle, because he wanted to prove one thing, that this Jesus who was going to be born was not going to be just human. His blood would not be mixed with the mother's blood, because it was the Father, the author of the life, was God himself. And therefore, when Jesus walked the earth, he had the blood of God inside of him, walking as a human, but being in the nature of God. Tempted which we were, tempted and tried, and we even, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the temptation Jesus went through. He was tried and tempted, yet because he knew there was something precious inside of him that he was going to protect. And you know, when we were born again, that same blood was shed for us. And one of the things that I like to share a lot about with the blood of Jesus is so powerful, is that when Jesus shed his blood for us, it was perfect, the Lamb of God, perfect blood. And it was shed for us as we've been adopted into his family. And now we have something also to protect and to cover. And that is the blood that was shed for us, is that we have to walk this life out. There's two things I'm going to share. One, it goes along with what Chad was sharing this morning. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew 22. And this really is an encouraging word, but it's also a word that will hopefully challenge us. Like the last couple of weeks, I shared with you about Christmas and about the hope that we could bring to other people. Now, we have a privilege and a chance every day to be a prophetic person. We can speak on behalf of the Lord to people around us that need something from God. It should bring hope. We should be bearers of hope wherever we go. As I made a comment the other day, we ought to be hope dealers, dealing hope to people around us. Everywhere we go, we should bring hope in a hopeless situation. But we also should do this. I'm just going to read this right here. Verse 36, chapter 22. Master, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said to them, you all know this, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The first and the greatest commandment. And the second, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. Two statements, we can summarize the entire scripture into these two statements. So I want to break these two things down. And there's actually going to be 3 points in these two. We got to start with the bottom and work our way up. So we're going to start with it. You shall love the Lord, or love your neighbor as yourself. Let's start with the last word of that. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. One of the things that we have to get over in our lives is that the enemy has given you a false sense of who you are and what he's called you to be. This Christmas season, there's a few gifts that we're going to give to you. There's three today. Love yourself, love others, but you can't do it without loving God. So let's start with loving yourself. You know, when I think of circumstances that happened this last couple of weeks, or when I think about people I get to meet with regularly, I realize there's a problem in the fact that we don't view ourselves the way God views us. We don't love ourselves the way God loves us. And how in the world are we going to be an example of loving other people when we cannot love ourselves the way God loved us? It's not pride, it's not arrogance, it's just loving the fact that God made me. Psalms 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am created by God in his likeness and his image. I ought to love the very person that God created. When my wife and I were going through a training about 10 or 11 years ago, and one of the questions in this training was, if you could be born in a different time period, would you be born? If you could do, and there's all these questions about who we were as people. And at the end of the question, Dr. Malone looked at us and said, if your answer was no for any one of these questions, then you have a problem with rejection and pride. It was a combination of the two. And everyone began to argue, because we like to argue if it didn't make sense. And he said, simple. If you're rejecting when God chose to put you on this earth and who he made you to be, You're making yourself as you think you would have known better than God when you belong here. And you would not love the fact that God made you to live in this time, this place, this season, with this children, with that parent. Oh, one of the questions was, if I could choose different parents, would I choose different parents? God chose those parents for you. God loved you, and he put you in an environment, in a place that you ought to be grateful. And I don't care how bad your parents, don't look around too much because maybe some are here. But you know, I don't care how bad your childhood was. God made you and formed you. And you were not an afterthought. He made you in a way that was unique, and you're one of a kind. And when you learn to fall in love with the person that God made you, no matter when you look in the mirror, don't let pride, but man, I'm loved. I'm a good-looking person. You know, talk to yourself a little bit. Encourage yourself. You know, David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. I mean, maybe you need a little encouragement in who you are. Maybe you need to establish, man, I'm fat, I'm stupid. Get that junk out of your vocabulary. I hate being around people who are self-negative speaking about themselves. I hate it. Because it's so contrary to what God thinks of you. When you make a mistake, man, I'm just stupid. I just do dumb things. And when you start doing that to yourself, I want to punch you. I was like, you are. You know what? Right now you're being so stupid, I'm going to agree with you. But it's not for the reason you say you are. You are being stupid because you're calling yourself something you're not. You're portraying yourself as somebody you're not. God didn't make you this way. You're not dumb. You're not stupid. And the thing is, whenever we make a mistake, your self-opinion comes out. Man, I'm just a terrible wife. I'm just a terrible husband. I'm a terrible father. Stop that junk. Today, make a choice to love you the way God loves you. To love me the way God loves me. That when I become a person who comes before the throne of God, I can say, I am loved by my Father who created me. And I belong in this place. No matter what I think others think of me, it doesn't matter. I know who God made me. And when you begin to have a self-confidence based on truth, not on a false self-confidence, because we have some people that might err over there. I don't know. I won't look around. But, we don't need that either. That's pride. But we do need to have an understanding that I am loved by the God who created me, and I don't need anything to make myself better. And when you can start loving yourself that way, the first part of that verse becomes easier. Then you can love others. You know how hard it is to love others? I know this for a fact in my own life. When I'm struggling with something in my own life, it's really hard for me to encourage other people in their life. When you see someone excel at something you're not good at, you get jealous and not happy for them. Love rejoices when people do well. But rejection competes with people who do well. If you're constantly having to put people down, or you're constantly having to be the bearer of bad news, and you're always trying to demean people, maybe it's because you can't love them because you're not comfortable with who God made you. You're not in competition with nobody. Love those people the way you love yourself, and there, you know what? A new type of love will come out of you that you've never experienced before. When you start loving people unconditionally, you start loving people despite of your own faults or despite of their faults, you become the first part of that verse, and that's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. When you begin to love God and his love comes through you, you will find out you become an ambassador of love to yourself and to others. In Christmas, we celebrate peace and joy and hope that we have, but when we go through Scripture, there's one word that we keep over and over and over: love drew Jesus to come and redeem us, to restore us. And so we can become that to other people. I love what Chad said for one major reason. That is, when we go to family gatherings and you go to all these events the next couple days, or maybe yours might have already started like mine, what if you were that voice of love and restoration in a home that needs it so bad? What if you were the one that was able to bring hope and encouragement to your family and friends through the next couple days ahead of us, through the Christmas and New Year's? We need to realize Jesus came for this reason. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, or 3, then 4. Yeah, 3 and 4. All right, 1 John 3 is one of these scriptures that I just, this morning I was struggling. What took me so long to get out of here, I was trying to figure out which verses to cut out, because I hate cutting. I could, 3 and 4 is like one big theme, but we're going to do it. Believe it or not, we're going to hit a few verses, and we're going to skip ahead. Your homework is, if you want to keep reading, do it at home later, please, because we don't want to, we want to get done with this today and not tomorrow. So we're going to jump in right here at verse 11. So 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. What did I just say a second ago? It's very difficult to love other people when there's competition and jealousy in our own lives. He was upset of his brother's offering, jealous of his offering, and that drove him to do the first murder, I mean, to kill his brother. You can't love somebody when that is in your heart. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brethren abides in death. Separation is what that means. When you're not loving people, you're separated from them. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Jumping to verse 7 of chapter 4. Yes, I know I'm skipping a lot because it just talks about the greatest commandment. I've already read all that in Matthew. Now, we'll skip ahead. I told myself I wouldn't do this. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that dwell in him, he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And he is, and we have seen and do testify, the Father sent us the Son, the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he is in God. And we have known and believe the love of God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. And he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves also his brother. This is why Jesus came to earth. I can't even say it better. That's why I just read it all. Love, God is love. And he chose, when Adam fell and Eve fell, to go and have a redeemer who could restore us and to bring love back to our lives. And so that we can be a love bearer to other people. If you can't, I can't read this any slower and any more meaningful. If you don't have love in your life, you don't have God in your life. Right there. Romans 5:5 says, for the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost. God in you, the Holy Spirit in you, is the love of God abiding through you. And I believe if the church would have one goal this season, and that is to glorify Jesus in such a way we would glorify the love that he has for us. But before we quit this, let's jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm just giving you a lot of scripture this morning. Isn't that weird? I feel like I'm on a Bible study this morning. That's okay. We're going to start at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now let me stop. This verse ought to be just one of these verses that ought to frame our life as Christians. But after reading what we just read in 1 John 4, after what we just talked about, if we're in Christ, that means we're in love. We're understanding what love is all about. God reconciled us so we can love one another, that we can love him and love each other. So now, adding that and putting the word reconciled in it, you're going to find our second part of this message. Therefore, if any man be in love in Christ, he is a new creature. New. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We are so new that we should not be recognized by our old nature ever again. If your old man wants to get up, tell it to go, because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You shouldn't even resemble the old person anymore. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, has committed us in the world of reconciliation. Now, we are ambassadors of Christ, for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he who hath made him to be sin for us knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Christ. We have been made righteous. We've been made right with God, so his love can dwell in us, abide in us, and live in us in such a way that we can reconcile others to God. This week, one of the reasons why this was so real and alive to me was, I guarantee you, we had every one of these chairs Wednesday at 4 p.m. full. We had people standing around the entire room, and we had the foyer open. There were 250 to 300 people sitting here showing honor and love and respect to a young man whose life was lost. You know, the greatest joy I had that day was not only those people showed up, but I would say hundreds and hundreds of more, if not over 1,000 people, walked this building. And I had people that I've just seen from restaurants in the community walking up, and I was able to just share with them the love of God. You know, one of the most touching services, even though I know Mark's grandma because we painted for her, but also knew her, she shared a story about Matt coming over there and reading his Bible and getting so excited about the Word of God in his life. I know I talked to Mark about him praying with him and others, and I've prayed with Matt. And though Matt's life did not end the way that anybody hoped it would end, it doesn't mean he didn't have the love of God in him, but he wasn't experiencing it. And I was able to share that with so many people Wednesday throughout the day and even Thursday. That just because Matt lost hope and this trial hit doesn't mean that he didn't know God. You know, it also means we have the ministry in this church. And it reminded me so much more Wednesday as I'm standing out there, how many people needed to hear that's God's love for them and hope for them and their plan for them. And there is a person, I would love to mention their name because some of you might know them, but I'm even going to keep it genderless. But somebody that every time I see them out in public because they work in the community, I don't think I've ever seen this person without an F-bomb being dropped at least once or twice. And here in this church that day, it was nothing but, wow, I really need to hear what you had to say. Tell me more about what happened. And I was able to share the gospel in a setting that I would have never been able to share with anybody else, because I was able to bring hope to somebody who was struggling and in pain because they were saying goodbye to someone they cared about. Folks, I have no idea what encounters you're going to have the next week, 2 weeks, months ahead of you. But when we understand this is the reason, is I think what Chad shared. So this is the reason Jesus came, so that he can reconcile us to him and we can have a ministry to reconcile others to him. We have a message of hope. We have a message of there's a life that, as I read at the graveside, I am the resurrection of life. If you believe in me, you will not die. And when you believe that, it ought to give every one of you a joy that is unspeakable. Even no matter what you're going through, that we will never die. We will just go from this earth to another one in heaven, and we'll have a new body. And I don't know what Matt's new body looks like, but as I told Mark privately, and I can say it in front of our church because you guys understand that I'm married and straight. Went straight. Why don't you make all clear? But I'm telling you, this kid, Matt, you looked into his eyes, and there was something. The man had eyes that would just penetrate. And I can imagine the beautiful new body that young man has received. He's walking around today. But you know what? It doesn't change the fact that we need to be a minister of reconciliation on this side of the earth. We need to encourage that no one else needs to have their life end early. No one else needs to go down a path of, even if you're living today with drug addiction, abuse, when you're living today with depression and sadness and sorrow, my encouragement to you is don't wait till it gets that far. Don't wait till it gets to the point where you can't handle life. Deal with it now. Experience God's love for you today. He wants to reconcile you, not just to get you saved so you go to heaven one day. He wants you to live today knowing that he loves you. He died for you, and you don't have to live in bondage anymore. If you listen, please, I have one more verse and I'm done. My heart was so moved this week and so confirmed this week by being around people who needed. I told this to Beth when we walked out of the hospital last Saturday. I think I said it last week even. This is why I do what I do. I love weeks like this because God allows me just to love on people when they need it the most. And you realize that whether you're at a family gathering to come or no matter where you're going, we ought to be this way every day. Whether it's at Walmart or at work or at home, we ought to be an ambassador and a reconciler of people to God and people to people. We ought to be uniting people, not dividing people. We ought to be loving people and encouraging others to love people. And this is what Jesus came for, to give us a message of love and reconciliation. Love and hope. So you don't have to, when you go to be with the Lord one day, you don't have to live in misery now and get hope one day. We have hope now. Jesus came to give you all that back. What Adam and Eve gave up in the garden, Jesus came to give you back. I believe, and I'm one of these people who truly believe, that we can experience the Garden of Eden right here on earth again. He redeemed me, he bought me back, and he's given me a new creation. I'm a new creation. All that old stuff of the sinner Adam, he's gone. And I'm a new person, and I want to live this way, and I want to be an ambassador of the good news of Jesus to bring hope and reconciliation and love to everyone I encounter this season. This is what Jesus came. This is the Christmas message. I'm going to end with the verses that every single person should be able to quote. If you turn on a football game this afternoon, you're going to see this. Somebody's going to put this on the sideline. But as we look at John 3, let's just close with these verses. And if the worship team wants to come and finish out this morning. But I want to share this with you from, oh my goodness. You know, the stories, we always forget the story of this isn't just about these two verses that we're reading. But when Nicodemus came, he was a very proud man. He went to Jesus asking a bunch of questions. Well, I don't get it. How do I get born again? You want me to jump back in my mom's womb? I mean, I've already been born. And he said, no, unless a man is born of the water and spirit, you can't be born again. He talks about what it means to be born again. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. That's a new birth. And he talks about this how he redeemed. Anyways, verse 15. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. What brought him back was this, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not only believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in by God. This is the good news of Jesus. For God so loved Adam and every one of us in this room that he gave this birth, this baby, to be born on this earth, knowing that this baby was just going to grow up and be crucified for us, put to death, mocked, ridiculed, and hated, which we talk about in a couple months from now. But he knew all this, but because his love for us was so great, he sent him anyways, because he wanted us to encounter life again the way he created it to be in the first place. He did not create us to live in an environment of sin, death, depression, sickness, sorrow, hatred, but in a life that's full of light. I love this. Those in darkness don't want the light, but we have a chance to be the light to the world, to be a city on a hill, to be the bearer of good news in God's love and life for those people that we encounter. And we have a chance. I truly believe in my heart that some of you, even in your family gatherings or your Christmas parties at work or wherever it might be, we have an opportunity to bring hope to people. That's what Jesus came for. Let's pray. Father, as your eyes are closed this morning, I just want to ask you, is there anyone in this room right now that just needs an encounter with God? That would, I'll give you the, just give me a minute. That you know in your heart that as we're talking about love, you don't feel very loved. You don't really like yourself that much and you're struggling. And you think about the alternative of all the things that are going on in life and you just don't even know in your hope what to do and your hope is just completely gone. Today I want to pray for you. I want your hope back. There's anyone in this room that's never bowed their knee and asked Jesus to come and be the love of their life, the Lord of their life. If you've never asked Jesus to be that in your life today, maybe you've prayed a prayer, but today is a day. As you hear about why he came, I've never prayed this in all the years I've done this, but Jesus, I ask you to come and be the love of my life. Because when I experience your love, I'll love my spouse and my kids and my family and my friends better when you become the love of my life. If you'd all just do me a favor and stand, the worship team's going to sing a song. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you, right where you're at, I'll stand up here so I can see better. Right where you're at, I'm going to pray with you. And I want you to receive this prayer. And if some of you have never prayed it before, maybe the first time, this is what Jesus was talking about. You must be born again. It's to bow your knee. In Romans 10, it says, if you believe in your heart, confess in your mouth, that Jesus died for you, you shall be saved. With your mouth, you confess, with your heart, you believe that Jesus has died for you and he will become Lord and love of your life. So with your eyes closed this morning, I'm going to pray this prayer. Before I do, is there anybody in this room? I promise you, all I need is to see a hand. Anybody that's never prayed that, or they're in a place right now, they're saying, I need this in my life today. I need Jesus to become the Lord and the love of my life. Anybody, please just raise your hand right now. Anybody? Looking around. Thank you. Yes, I see. Thank you. Anybody else? Jesus, I need you to be the love of my life again. I've lost my way. I've let other things ruin and destroy my path. I want to give my life back to you today and ask you to be the Lord and the love of my life. Anybody else? All right, let's pray this. Church, will everybody, if you believe this, and even if you didn't raise your hand and you repeat this after me, and you mean it in your heart, it's still true. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I confess that I have sinned. I have fallen short, and I need a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me. He was risen again for me so that I might receive eternal life. I have sinned, and I receive your forgiveness, your cleansing. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I receive eternal life. I ask you, Jesus, to come and be the Lord and love of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Amen. I'm on it. Don't forget tonight, we're going to be back here at 6 o'clock. Doors open at 5:30, according to Kenny. He's blaming Kenny, I guess. But be back here. Be early. And let's have a good time. Either way, those of you that don't come back tonight, we encourage you to have a great, awesome Christmas. And remember, when you're celebrating with your family at home, Jesus came so we become love and love others. Amen? Y'all receive that today? All right. Have a wonderful Christmas. If not, we'll hopefully see you tonight.
Be lifted high, for your glory.